Would you like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17? 1 Samuel 17. And starting from around verse 37, it's a story I know you know very well. It's about David and Goliath. And it's one of those stories that we think, oh, I know that so well. But hopefully something's going to come out a little bit, something more new today will come out, which will just touch you and bless you in some way this morning. So 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 37b, I suppose. Yes, we'll take it from there, 37b. Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over this tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five small smooth stones from the stream and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. And reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him, and he took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. And after he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran away. We thank God for that gruesome bit of message there. But think of the children now. I hope it's all right. But again, it's a story that I'm sure we know so well. But again, I hope it's something that's going to touch us this morning. So there we had this story. We got, for 40 days, you had the Philistine army on one hill and you had the Israeli army on the other with a valley in between. And for 40 days, you had all this carrying on. They was all, you know, shouting and having a go at each other. It's like a Tottenham and a Man U fan or an Arsenal fan. You know, you're shouting rubbish at each other and having a go at each other. Same sort of thing. It was just winding each other up, trying to have a go, whatever it may be. And this went on for 40 days. And really, nothing was really happening, as it were, at this particular point. But then David had been preparing and looking after his sheep. And then he came onto the scene. And then basically he came in to be part of that battle. At that time, he didn't know that he was going to be in a battle. But then because he was there, he became part of it because a lot of his brothers were there and they were preparing for this big battle that was going to happen. So then David, as I say, then he came into the situation. So David was then going to be in a battle. And it's like each one of us here this morning. You know, we are in a battle. Or battles. You know, for each one of us, life isn't particularly wonderful. You know, we've heard of different people with different needs this morning. And as we go through life, we hear of different things and, you know, we think of different people, loved ones that have died, illnesses, loss of job, finance problems. You know, there's so many things that are going on in our lives as individual. But we are in a battle. We may not be fighting a physical battle like David, but all the same, what we're going through is battles. And it's, and as we go through those battles, how do we cope? How do we go into them? It's so easy. We can, you know, so often we think, oh, well, this is happening, that's happening, might just as well give up. Let's, you know, we can come out with so many different things. But with, and as we look at this story, we see how David, to start with, he was going to go into that battle, as it were, in the world's way, if you like. You know, he put on all this armor, he had all this stuff, and he could hardly walk. I mean, how could he go into a battle, a physical battle, when he had all this stuff that he was trying to wear? You know, he couldn't even probably walk to get to Goliath. But it's so easy when we know we're going through a situation or we know battles is going to come our way. How do we approach that battle? And so easy we can try and prepare and go into a battle in our own way, in our own strength. But of course, as Christians, we don't have to be like that. That's not the way that we go into a battle. Then David prepared for that battle. He realized then, he took off all this armor and all this stuff, and he knew what he was good at. And he went to that stream and he took out those five smooth stones. And he knew the way he was going to go into that battle. He knew what he was going to do. He was going to do it not just his way, but he was going to do it God's way as well. He prepared for the battle. But Goliath, of course, he prepared for it in his cursing and swearing and, you know, all this stuff. And he was going to go in again in the world's way. And so easy, that can be our way, not God's way. We want to do it God's way. But then you see, it said that in verse 45, it says, and then David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. David was going to go in with God on his side. How about us? Again, I don't know, you know yourselves within groups, with families, as a church, you know, you probably know what's, you've got some idea what's going to happen this week. If you're like me, you know, you can't live without a diary. Before I became a Christian, I never had a diary. Once I became a Christian, I needed it because there's so much going on in my life, you know, but we got it planned. You know, perhaps today we've got get our diary the first day of the week. You know, we see things coming up this week. How are we going to go into those things? And for some of us, it may be a good week, no problems. But for some of us, they may be big problems, and they are our battles. And how do we go into those battles and to see how we're going to sort those battles out? So David fought with God, but Goliath fought with a spear, a sword, and a javelin. But see, David was confident of victory. See, as Christians, we can be confident of our battles. You know, we can be confident. So often we're not, I don't believe. He said, this day, David said, the Lord will hand you over to me and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. He was going to go in with God. He was confident of his battle. It doesn't mean to say that we don't think about worry or whatever it may be. You know we got these problems or these battles coming up. How do we go about it? And you know, so often we think, well, you know, we think of something that's going to happen and we start worrying about it. We think, how can I get over this? We might start asking other people and trying to sort things out. But who is the first person we should go to? God. It should be him that we go to first. Yes, not saying it's not right to see other Christians and get on the phone or meet up and say, well, you know, can you help me with this? What do you think I should do? It's good to have wise counsel. It's good that I'm sure here as a fellowship you have people, whether it's in leadership or just folk who worship here, who are wise, who are godly. They're walking with God. They know what God is saying to them. And in all churches, hopefully this is what it is. You know, this is why church is so important. Church is so important. My plea is to folk, you know, that so often we can say, well, I won't bother to go to church today. I've got something else on that's more important. Nothing can be more important than a Sunday morning. Jan and I have been married for coming up to 51 years next month. Yeah, 51, yeah. I had brown hair in those days. All my teeth and no glasses. But I jest, Jan. But the one thing that we've always made a priority, Sunday. Sunday has always been a priority. Yes, when we had children, and you know, there's days when you know we couldn't get out or illness or whatever, but we always made a point of Sunday. We would always get there. You know, even if only just one of us could go, and then when the children got older, we took the children. And we have missed very, very few Sundays in 51 years. And I think that's so important, to come together. You can all build each other up. You've all got different gifts. You can all bless each other. You can pray with each other, give things to whatever it may be, whatever people's needs may be, whatever it may be. You have something that other people don't have. And when you bring these things together, church is an amazing and a wonderful place. So I went on a bit of that. I wasn't expecting to say too much about that. But, you know, make Sunday service a priority. If you can't make it, sometimes you can't make it. Obviously, that happens. But to be here if you can. And when you see each other, and is it good to see another brother and sister who loves Jesus, who one day we're going to spend eternity with? So let's get on with each other now, because we're going to have to get on with each other when we get up there. You know, we just need to enjoy each other's fellowship. And I just love going to church. Wherever, even if I'm not at my own church today, I'm here amongst you folk, because I know a number of you quite a few years. And yeah, you're my friends, you're my brothers and sisters. And one day, you know, we'll be together in the presence of God, spend eternity together. Isn't that amazing? So again, let's be church, be very special. And let's be kind to each other, to bless each other, encourage each other, because there's so much going on out there which is rubbish, which can draw us in and can just, we can get drawn in by the world, and we can let the world bring us down. So much is going on. You know, and again, it's wonderful that we talked about the things in Morocco and Libya. And yes, I mean, that's, you know, we see those things, and you know, we can do things for them, and we can pray for that situation. But there are other things that is going on that is so tough for us. But being with Christians, blessing each other, it's an amazing day. Sunday is special. Unfortunately, Sunday in this nation is very much now very much a secular day. We as I said, Jack, we just come back from Austria only last week. And it's good on a Sunday, apart from a few touristy shops, everything closes. There's no all these shops, you know, no lot of shops open and things going on. It is very much like a Sunday used to be here a number of years ago, where, you know, everybody would go out, it'd be families, go to church, people dress up in their Sunday best and all this sort of stuff, you know. And out there, it's just so good. So very little happens on a Sunday. And it was just so nice to walk through the town and very little would be going on. I think we've lost that in this country. Sunday is just special. It's not special, but it is a special day for God, and it's also a special day for us. So David is confident in victory. And 1 John 4:4 says that he that is in us, Jesus, is greater than he, the devil, that's in the world. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? Because I see so many Christians who think, oh, the devil's having a field day. He's got everything under control. Rubbish! He is not got everything under control. He isn't the main one. Jesus is the main one. Jesus has conquered death. On that day, on that Good Friday, when Jesus died on that cross, you know, and he gave up his last, the devil must have been wringing his hands in glee. Yes, I won. But Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus came back to life, devil was beaten. He's beaten. But so many Christians, I don't see so many of them, they just say, oh, woe is me, what am I? I'm nothing. Rubbish. We are something. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb because we've just celebrated it with bread and wine. Jesus has conquered the devil. We are something. David was confident of victory. And as we go through our problems, our worries, our needs, they can be overcome with Jesus on our side, with the folk in the church and other Christians. We can have victory. Because if we're Christians, Jesus won the victory. We have victory through Jesus because he lives in us. From the moment we gave our lives to Jesus, he came into our lives and we have victory. We don't have to let the devil have, or let him think that he has the victory, because he hasn't. It's God's battle, because David said there, it's God's battle. He knew it was God's battle. It's also his battle. But when you work hand in hand, as it were, we know that God is with us and it is God's battle. And the lovely bit about that in verse 48, it said that David ran to the battle. You know, he saw this massive, 6 foot, whatever it is, with all the things that he had. And you know, normally you would look at that, good grief, what's going on? You know, he could have shied back, but he didn't. He ran to the battle. Why? Because he was confident in his victory. He knew that God was going to be with him. And what happened thousands of years ago is no different to today. The same God that was with David is with you and me today, tomorrow, and in this coming week. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never, ever change. He is faithful completely to the last moment of our lives. And then, of course, when we go into glory when we die and to spend eternity with Jesus. We got it both ways. Can't lose, can we? And what an amazing thing. I'm preaching at a busy day today. I'm at Sandcross this afternoon, and I'm preaching there. And this is what I'm preaching about the race that is before us. You know, the race, there is a race for us as well. But at the end of it, our race is walking, living for Jesus, and our final destiny is to go into glory, to spend eternity with Jesus if we love him, if he's our Lord and our Saviour. So David was skillful with his weapons. He knew what he could do. With all that stuff on him to start with, he couldn't do anything. But when he got those stones with his catapult, sling thing, whatever it is that he ever had, you know, he knew he could win the battle. And he did. He won. He was skillful with what he had. Are we skillful with the things that we have? What's this? A Bible. What does that do? Does this just lay on our table at home or on a shelf, just gathering dust? Or do we read this word day by day by day by day? See what God's got to say to us. He can speak to us, touch us, and bless us through this word. Don't let it be just picking up dust. Let's be skillful in reading the word every day, just seeing what God has got to say. At prayer time, prayer is so important. Oh, power in prayer. Do you believe that? Again, so often people think, oh, well, I better pray, I better do this, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I think it means nothing. Wow, there is power in prayer. When we get on before God, kind of we get on our knees these days, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, you can still pray. You can bring those prayers to God. And God will hear prayer. He will answer prayer, and he will win amazing victories if we believe that. There's that lovely story, isn't it? When Peter was in prison, that story in Acts. I love that story. I've preached on it many times, I know, as well. But, you know, the church came together. They all prayed earnestly. They was really going at it, hammering tongs on. Well, imagine it. That's the way I look at it. It was a, you know, oh, Lord, just do something. I think they was getting before God. They were praying. And then what happened? Peter in prison, miracle after miracle after miracle happened. All of a sudden, an angel appeared. Chains fell off. Light appeared. Massive great doors opened. Guards kept sleeping. All these things happened. Why? Because people were praying. There was power. And Peter came out of prison. Oh, what an amazing story that is. Because people got together. Yes, as an individual, as a church, but also as individuals, there is so much prayer power in prayer. Let's be skillful. Let's use those gifts and say, oh, well, that's for somebody else. That's for the pastor or for the leader of the church or whatever. It's for each one of us. God can do so many things. Isn't it exciting? Are you getting excited? I hope you're getting excited because I am, you know. It's just good, not because I've prepared it and bringing it to you, but I just get excited. This is our God. This is the God that we love. This is the God that died for us. This is the one that we just took bread and wine, remembering what our God is like and what he's done. He's an amazing God. So many other great things are going on in our world, but nothing gets better than our God. Nothing, absolutely nothing, gets better than him. And so, and then, of course, David won the battle, and then the Philistines, they ran away, you know, because of just one young lad with a stone and a slingshot where it was. You know, how a victory occurred in amazing circumstances. Just an amazing thing. So we can fight our battles, but we need to do it with God on our side. You don't think, now, will he be on my side or could he be? No, he's going to be there. He will be with us in those battles as we go through them. We just leave, say, Lord, you know what's... Now, again, I'm not at work now, thankfully, but when I was at work, I hated Monday. Oh, I hated Mondays. It was an awful day. I mean, nothing really particularly worried, but just didn't like Mondays. I had that weekend. If Arsenal had lost, I thought, oh, I'm going to have to go to grief with all the people at work and all that. And I used to hate Monday, especially if we got lost to Crystal Palace or something like that. That's what made it worse, you know. but I used to hate Mondays. But, you know, but Monday was the one day when I had so many opportunities to witness to the Lord. People knew that I was a football nut. And some of them knew that I was a Christian. But, you know, the amount of opportunities on a Monday, I could go to work and say, they say, well, what did you do yesterday? They always expect me to talk about football. No, I went to church yesterday. Or, no, I was actually preaching at a church yesterday, or whatever. So many opportunities to witness to my faith, which is more important than football and anything else will ever, ever be. Because on a Monday morning, it was the day when I used to dread it, but perhaps in some ways it would probably be the best day of the week. So we can win those battles. We can be, don't have to be defeated Christians, because we're not defeated. We're victorious Christians because Jesus is victorious and because of what he's done. So let it be that we are be a people of prayer. Let's read our Bibles. Let's not forget to meet together. Let's when we see each other, that we see that we are special, that we are precious, that we are loved, and God loves us so much. And there's this, just to finish off one verse, which is probably one of my favourite verses in the whole of the Bible. It's from Ephesians. Ephesians 3, it says, now to him, God, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Yeah. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Just think of that. You can think of all the things that we can think about, imagine. We can ask about, he can do it more than that, according to his power, not our power, but it's God's power, what? Working in us. That Holy Spirit, remember when Jesus died, I think it's in Romans, it talks about the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So if that power could raise Jesus, now living in us, are we weak and Christians? No way. We are strong because we have the power of God living in us. It's a, you know, you know, we just got to remember these things. Sometimes we, you know, when we're going through doubt times or whatever, we can forget about these things. But don't let's, that is at work within us. It says, to him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Because it gives God the glory. And when I think what he's done for me, I want him to have all the glory. And he will get the glory. We just live those lives. Go out there and live our lives today. We've heard it now. You know, let's go out. Whatever tomorrow's going to have in store for us. I don't know what it is. I think I'm helping Jan with Avon tomorrow. But yeah, so that's another thing. But an exciting day. But you know what I mean? You know, but we have that power. Don't let the devil try and take it away, that he has won the battle. We don't have to run away from the battle. We run towards the battle. Yeah, it doesn't say that every day is going to be wonderful. We're going to have no problems, not going to have no illnesses, no deaths. Doesn't say that at all. But as we go through those situations, through those problems, then we know God is going to be there. And I believe, I really truly believe that when people see the real church, when they see the real us, that God will be glorified. It will draw other people in. People who want to talk to you, they want to talk to you because you've got something that they haven't got. You've got something that you've got, and you can share that faith with other people, and other people can come to know and to love Jesus as their own Lord and Saviour. So I hope that's blessed you. I hope that's encouraged you. I hope that, you know, we can go out this morning. It's afternoon now. Yeah. We can go out and just on fire for God. And then tomorrow morning, Monday morning, don't matter. Don't matter. God's going to be with us. We can say, do those things this coming week, and that God would have the praise and the glory. May it be for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.